Oh, maybe I should get that. Okay, we're going to read a little bit together. Hello. We're going to read from Miracle on 2nd Avenue. And we're going to read we're starting chapter 2. Right here. Okay. This bookmark is in chapter 3. Is it 2? Okay. Okay, here we are on chapter 2. This is called The Seeker. Although I'd known the Swami for what amounted to only a matter of months, when I joined his guests for lunch that day, I felt that my meeting him had been a long time coming, that it was the latest episode in a string of events throughout my life. I had come from a conservative Jewish background, but I had a distinct rebellious streak that I nurtured from an early age. Social clubs, sports, and playing in bands were the main things about school that interested me, although I was keen on music and literature. As a teenager, I enthusiastically consumed good writing. Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Billy Wilder's Stalag 17, Somerset Maugham's The Razor's Edge, Conrad's Heart of Darkness, Faulkner's As I Lay Dying, Graham Greene's The Third Man, Saul Bellow's The Adventures of Augie March, Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea, Lawrence Ferlinghetti's Pictures of the Gone World, and lots of Dylan Thomas. When I was 16, I started drinking rather heavily, smoking pot and hanging out with musicians, many of whom were older than I was. Some were goatees and some were pimps. My parents seemed oblivious to it all, including the fact that I was smoking and not just cigarettes. During this time, I became friends with Dick Miller, who was the most rebellious but academically brilliant guy in school. Although he was in all the high academic classes, he was everything the older generation hated. He cut class, came to school drunk, worked as a male prostitute, and had affairs with female members of staff who were twice his age. He exposed me to the underworld of dope, prostitution, and jazz. I admired his outspokenness and his rejection of the system in which we had been raised. I laughed at the world with him and in some ways even emulated his behavior. Then, when Dick and I were 17, the car he was driving was involved in a head-on collision with a truck. The other members of his family in the car were not seriously injured, but he was killed. His funeral was held in Seattle, a two-hour drive from my home in Portland. I rode up to the service with a teacher of mine, Wayne Altree, and a friend named Craig. The funeral parlor was full of flowers and loud, cheery organ music and blinding sunlight from the clerestory windows. Dick's ex-girlfriend Linda was there, dressed in white, her cheeks stained black with tears and mascara. She looked gray. I filed past the coffin with the other mourners. When I saw Dick's face bruised black and blue in the open casket, I felt sick. It was the first time I'd come face to face with death, and I couldn't process what had happened to this person who was the same age as me. I was overcome with grief and rode back to Portland in complete silence while Craig whimpered in the back seat. Barely able to function, I ran into Altree some days later as I drifted between classes. "How are you doing?" he asked. not so good. You know, he said, bad things are going to happen in life, even to extraordinary people like Dick. But why? I asked, not really expecting an answer. I don't really know, he paused. You need a teacher, he said. You're my teacher. I mean a teacher who can explain this stuff, someone who has some answers. I didn't take Alchie's advice very seriously, but I did become interested in philosophy in my early 20s. I easily accommodated the Eastern and Oriental variety and was attracted to the works of Aldous Huxley, especially books such as Doors of Perception, which leaned eastward and toted the here and now philosophy. Despite being something of a spiritual seeker, I was an agnostic. I had witnessed a great deal of hypocrisy in the people of God in my childhood. My parents considered religion more or less an add-on to a happy, successful life. Their Judaism seemed to be based more on a social intercourse than on spirituality. There was a lot of discrimination and condescension towards other faiths. Shortly after my bar mitzvah, I mentally renounced identification with Judaism. Okay, we'll end this here. Miracle on 2nd Avenue Key.
Put it what?
He actually read that.
So
just
stick
it back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, let me put it back to 3, and then we're going to move on to our Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is 28, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's do Jayarada Madhava first, and then.
Jaya Kirivara Jari.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time, so we're just going to go right into reading this Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vikrishya mana prasabham. Vikrishya mana prasabham. Yavanena baliyasa. Yavanena baliyasa. Navinta tamasa vista. Navinta tamasa vista. Sakyam surdam puraha. Sakayam surdam pura. Vikrishya mana prasabham. Yavanena baliyasa. Navinta tamasa vista. Sakya sahak sakhayam surdam pura. Vikrishya mana prasabham. Yavanena baliyasa. Navinta tamasa vista. Sakayam surdam pura. Is that three times? Vikrishya mana prasabham. Yavanena baliyasa. Navinta tamasa vista. Sakayam suridam pura. Vikrishya mana prasabham. Yavanena baliyasa. Navinda tamasa visha. Sakayam suridampura. Vikrishyamana. Being dragged. Prasabham. Forcibly. Yavanena. By the Yavana. Balayasa, who was very powerful. Na'avindat, could not remember. Tamasa, by darkness of ignorance. Avishta, being covered. Sakayam, his friend. Suridam, always a well-wisher. Pura, from the beginning. Translation. When King Puranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Supersoul. So we'll repeat a little bit. When King Puranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Supersoul. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshvaram suridam sarva bhutanam natva mam santim richati. A person can be in full Krishna consciousness and become happy and satisfied if he knows but three things. Namely, that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of all benefits, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the supreme friend of all living entities. If one does not know this and functions instead under the bodily conception, he is always harassed by the tribulations offered by material nature. In actuality, the Supreme Lord is sitting by the side of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam ridesha arjuna tishtati, Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The living entity and the Supersoul are sitting side by side in the same tree, but despite being harassed by the laws of material nature, the foolish living entity does not turn toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. However, he thinks that he is able to protect himself from the stringent laws of material nature. This, however, is not possible. The living entity must turn toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. Only then will he be saved from the onslaught of the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. The word Sakayam, friend, is very significant in this verse because God is eternally present beside the living entity. The Supreme Lord is also described as Suridam, ever well-wisher. The Supreme Lord is always a well-wisher, just like a father or mother. Despite all the offenses of a son, the father and mother are always the son's well-wisher. Similarly, despite all of our offenses and defiance of the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will give us immediate relief from all the hardships offered by material nature if we simply surrender unto Him. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm going to read this one more time. The translation. When King Puranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul. So, this is an amazing, maybe this is one of the most amazing purports that we've gotten to see in, well, they're all amazing, but this one is a really special purport, and it references the peace formula in the Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's peace formula, which he mentions in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. So this peace formula is okay. There's three things in this in the peace formula. Does anyone know what they are? That Krishna is the supreme friend.
Enjoyer of all austerities and sacrifices.
He's a supreme enjoyer. And what's the third one?
And master of all the planets.
The proprietor. So you can also say he's the proprietor. I think that, yeah, that's also important to understand. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about this, a similar thing, and I mentioned something, and some people, they said, anyway, I'll mention it one more time. So what my friend, he was talking about this, philosophy about how, they says that it, like, in the mode, like Krishna in the mode of, no, I shouldn't say it like this, sorry. Let me try to explain it better. That the three modes can also correlate, remember we were talking about this, that the three modes can also sort of correlate to this peace formula. And so some misunderstanding to, that we try, in the mode of ignorance, we're trying to be Krishna as the enjoyer, So, we are trying to enjoy in the mode of ignorance. It's like enjoyment on the platform of the senses, trying to enjoy our senses, and then in the mode of passion, we're trying to like enjoy on the level of the mind, like the mind accepting and rejecting these things, or how can I get more of this, more money, or this person, or this like this. So, and then in the mode of goodness is like enjoyment on the level of the intelligence, and for instance like Krishna, for instance, trying to be Krishna as a supreme friend, almost like this. So you can see, in that you could, for example, you can see like great philanthropists or different people, they open the hospitals, or Bill Gates, or they try to defeat diseases and all these kind of things, right? So, like, or ourselves, we try to be everybody's friend, or we try to act like, we can solve everyone's problems, or this, that, it's nice, it's a good sentiment, I'm not criticizing it, but I'm saying, but ultimately, you won't be happy unless you understand that Krishna is the supreme friend. It's not like, even if you're in the mode of goodness and doing good things, you may not even do all the right things. Could you throw me that flower? Like this. So anyway, If we want to achieve peace, then we have to, and if anyone wants to achieve peace in this world, then that's what they need to understand, is that Krishna is the supreme friend. Krishna is the proprietor of everything, and Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So it's even a level of like proprietorship. I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday, and on a CD, and he said like that everyone in the material world we've stolen the property of Krishna. You know, like we think like all these things are ours, but actually everything belongs to Krishna. So we're all a thief. You know? So we've stolen everything, we're a thief. And then he told a story, like he said, if you went to somebody's house, like a friend or something, and then you stole something from this friend, and then you had this item in your house, but you really wouldn't be able to enjoy it, you know, because you couldn't like take it out or do any of these things. You would be thinking all the time, like like how it's not yours, and you'd feel, you know, you'd have maybe some satisfaction that you owned it or something, but you would, you know, you just feel bad and hide it. And if you gave it back to your friend, then you would feel happy again, you know. So it's the same thing. Like once we realize that everything belongs to God, and we try to utilize everything properly, then we can be happy like this. And then so we don't have a whole lot of time, but back to our verse. You know, we're hearing how King Pranjana, he's being dragged by this great force by the Yavanas out of his gross ignorance. So of course this allegorical story is about us it's Narada Muni talking to King Prachini Barsat, and he's trying to get him to understand, you know. So same thing for us, you know, we are in a gross ignorance if we think that we are this body and we're trying to enjoy the senses like this. So, the main thing is that when we are so in the mode of ignorance and we're so much trying to enjoy the senses and we think we're this body, we're never going to be able to remember. We're never going to be able to remember that Krishna is the supreme friend, that Krishna is our well-wisher, because we're going to always be trying to, you know, enjoy the senses, and we'll be covered over. We will not be able to realize that very most important thing. So, and one other thing that I think is important is we can see also in the scriptures that Krishna is all he's trying to get to us. He's our supreme friend, and he's trying to reach all of us, and he's trying to get us to wake up and to go back to Godhead, and he's trying to get us to take these things to our heart. And so these scriptures are also, and you, I'm sure you have experience of this yourself, you find that these scriptures are just not evidence of Krishna's friendship, but also you can find this Krishna's friendship in these books when you're reading them. And you can, and these instructions are actually Krishna's divine friendship. So, and also another thing you can see is that since Krishna is so kind to all the living entities, he's so kind to us, so, and we are supposed to be a representative of Krishna, and we're supposed to be a servant of Krishna, so we should also try to imbibe these things and be very friendly towards each other. And especially towards you know, towards everyone, but especially towards the devotees. We should be very friendly towards them, just as Krishna is so friendly, you know? Like, there is no reason that we should be mean to each other or judgmental or different things like this, because why would we, if Krishna is not being like this, why would we be like this, you know? Like, that doesn't make sense. Maybe if we are acting in a non-friendly way, maybe it's because we are somehow affected by the modes of material nature. Maybe we're not at peace because we're not seeing that those three things, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and everything is for Krishna's enjoyment when we do our kirtan, our music, and our kirtan. All these things are to please Krishna. So also, I think Krishna will be pleased if we have a friendly relationships with each other, and we're friendly towards each other and kind towards each other like this. And then also Krishna is the supreme proprietor, that he owns everything, every single thing. He owns everything. We're just using them for right now, you know. I think sometimes people say we're stewards, or, you know, stewards of him. And then also, like I said, finally, that, you know, Krishna, he's the supreme friend. And so if we can remind each other that Krishna is the supreme friend, and remind each other of Krishna's love, then this is very beneficial. Like, it's probably better to, yeah, it's very good to remind each other how Krishna is the supreme friend, and remind everybody in the material world who is in the same predicament as King Paranjana, in gross ignorance. They don't know that Krishna is their friend, and they don't know that what is in store for them. We're hearing right here what is in store for a person who is in gross ignorance, and we heard about I don't know if I could pronounce it, Kala, I can't pronounce the daughter of time, old age, yeah. And we're hearing all these things that they're going to happen to every person. Every living entity is going to have old age. We heard about a five-headed serpent, which is the life errors in the body. And then these yavanas are diseases and things, right? So we're all going to be attacked by diseases and fear, and all this stuff is going to happen to us. So a very important goal is to remind people of our friend. So King Paranjana, he could not, it says, he could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul. So we need to help Krishna to remind everybody of these three things in the peace formula, and then that's the only way there can be peace of mind for the living entities. So thank you for listening. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Does anybody have any realizations? Yes.
I like how you said we have to help Krishna. This is like vision of Krishna as our friend, yeah, because you cannot think about, like, I'm an honest person, why should I help?
Right. Well, the realization is that we can look in our life, and this is something we can meditate on for the rest of the day if you want, or a little bit today. So how is Krishna your friend? Like, what did Krishna do to make you understand that he is your friend? You know, so you can probably think of millions and trillions of things that Krishna has done to help you, or even like, even that he may help your very worried mind or your worried anxiety, all these things. By reading these scriptures, one becomes, you can be, you know, like we said, you can become peaceful, or you can find a time in your life. Like, I don't really have time. I'll tell you a quick, really, really fast story. That Or you can think of, what is a friend today? You can think of, what is a friend to you, you know? I know that Krishna loves us and that he cares about us and that he wants us to get out of our gross ignorance. And I think that he's doing every possible thing. Like, when these books are so, they have so much pure knowledge to get us out of our gross ignorance. So even, like I said before, even these books, like every verse, every line is Krishna saying, like, please, like do not be in Maya, do not be in gross ignorance, he's pleading with us through these scriptures and through this beautiful deity form, Radha, Gopi, Balava, Gornitai, Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra. He's like, everything is Krishna pleading for us to remember our eternal spiritual relationship with him. And so everything is there. The problem is that we are. It says it in the end of the purport. It says bad association. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we're greatly attached. Like we, Bhakti Dhyan, he was telling me recently, he was like, you should listen to Gaur Govinda Maharaj sometimes. So sometimes I was listening and I heard him, and he's like, he was saying like, are you Krishna Das or are you Maya Das? You know, like he's saying like this. So that it's true that, you know, we are very attached and we have these layers of conditioning and different things. We're so attached to Maya. So even when Gaur Govinda Maharaj was talking like this, he's like kind of like smiling and laughing. It really helped. You realize his friendliness. He's not judging, you know, or something. He's like, he's showing the stupidity of following Maya instead of going to Krishna like this. So anyway, the story that I was going to say was just that one time I fell into some Maya, and then I was really upset about it. And I came to the temple and I was so ashamed about it that I didn't even want to come in. I wouldn't come in the temple. But my friend, one of my very best friends, he came outside and talked to me on the steps. And I told him what had happened. I revealed my mind and then I told him what had happened. And then he was just so kind about it, so non-judgmental about what had happened. You know, it was Maya. Like, I fell into Maya, like a situation. And he was so kind, and then that made me feel so much like Krishna's love, for, you know, that it made me be able to, like, oh, like, just sort of leave that thing, that thing that happened, or leave it behind and just go forward, you know. So this is what Krishna wants. He wants us to, know that we're an eternal spirit soul and serve him with love and devotion like that. Okay, so it's already 5 minutes over the time. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about this, or do you think we should end here? Oh, you want to say something? No? Okay, thank you so much for listening. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, chak.